the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into another week, a great week actually. Usually this time of November we're talking about Cardinals and top 10 draft pick and ASU and recruits or if the coach is going to get fired, anything but what we're going to talk about today, which we do like a lot. Our chairman of the board is the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen. He celebrated a big number the other day, his birthday. He turned 22, I think, 19, something like that. Maybe it's 22 plus 19, I don't know. But congratulations to him. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. Pumped up, psyched up, geeked up. Yesterday was it's really interesting to watch football and to see guys like Burrow and Mahomes and Lamar all losing. That doesn't happen, but there was good stuff there. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Jody Jackson, right around the corner. Our weekly Jody Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Jody and I will chop it up on the Cardinals. Second half of the season gets started this Sunday, and today they're in first place. My Cardinals are in first place. Who had that on their bingo card? And then we'll have John Wilner, the great John Wilner, nationally syndicated columnist, all things college football, basketball. But of course, it is the Kenny Dillingham really should be in the coach of the year conversation. But I think there's going to be those that will give the Big 12 coach of the year conversation to Deion Sanders. Can you have one or the other? I mean, Kalani Sitake, they crapped the bed the other night, BYU did. And you picked to finish last, for crying out loud. This is not brain surgery. When you see where ASU was picked by nincompoops like me, I didn't pick them last, but our industry, which is a bleep show, our industry is so bleeped up that when the CFP comes out tomorrow, there's going to be this whole SEC propaganda Pravda deal going on. It just is. Because our bleeping industry likes to, you know, bleep with people that they're just more passion. So what? So bleeping what? And I'm interested to see that. And John and I are going to talk about that. As well as the ASU game, who does he like and all that. We're not talking about U of A this week. And it's not that I have anything against U of A. I just didn't find what they did Friday night interesting. I watched more of their basketball game. I wish I could figure Bobby's team out. Last night I watched some of the ASU game. That was a hard watch. And the GCU game was great over the week. But we'll start with football. Okay, I'm all over the place today, which is good. I might even go to Mike Tyson for a little bit because I was one of those with the buffering. Of course, just in time to see Mike's ass on my TV was just, come on. Let's start with ASU. So they're ranked 21st. The game this Saturday will be the biggest game at ASU in many, many, many years. I had people yesterday pinging, you know, email, what do you think? You know, where does this compare and all that stuff. It's a regular season game against BYU and what's already been a very good season. Has it been a magical season? I guess if you consider all the nonsense that went on for so many years that people turned a blind eye to over there. It's magical. Is it one of those where you look at and say, what's the future hold? Okay, I'll live in the present because I will be really interested to see how the NIL fundraise goes. Very interested. Does this see if it's the same usual people that are getting tapped on? Or if some new dollars come in and there's a new way to go about business, okay? But Saturday will be great. I can't rank it this game, that game, any of that stuff. I just like the fact that Kenny did have a signature victory finally. Beating Kansas State on the road, and not just beating them, if you watch that game, that was a beat down. The K-State was, they were trying to get in that game late, but that was foot on throat all the way through. And a clean game early on, and yeah, some struggles happen on the road. That takes place. Some gamesmanship by Kenny and letting the clock run down, which fans didn't like, taking some penalties. It's the game. Tick, 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 tick. You're going to whine about that. I talked to some people that were at the game, and K-State fans were very nice until it was late in the game and tick, 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 tick. So what's it going to take to beat BYU? I don't think BYU is very good. I haven't felt BYU has been good this season. They've had good luck. They've had a season in which they've missed some tougher opponents. They've taken care of business. I'm not going to sit here and talk badly about them. ASU's had a pretty soft schedule, if we're being honest. That's why beating Kansas State was so impressive. You know, people don't like it. It's like you're taking a shot. No, I'm not. I'm being truthful. Wyoming's terrible. Just so we're really clear. Same with Mississippi State. But doesn't matter. They're on the schedule. Nobody could predict that years ago when they made them up. You go to Kansas State, not many people expected them to win. They go back there, and they look like a team that should be ranked in the top 25. They are. Some people love the fact that they're ranked. It's about time we got ranked. We're not getting our respect. Well, let's just be straight up. When you've been off the radar for as many years as ASU has been, and there's cheating going on, there is residual. There are people that will not give you a shot till the new staff comes in and cleans up the complete bleep show that there was here. So, and I like the fact the game's at 1:30. There's always going to be something, though, when it comes to start times of games. I found that to be true through the years here. I don't know why it is. Even as I've gotten older, oh my gosh, my day is ruined because they're playing at 1:30, which means I've got to get there at 10:30 and find a place to park. Yeah, I have a media pass, so I get there for free. I'm still stuck in traffic just like you are. Well, my whole day is shot because, well, ASU's playing. Well, what's the priority? You know, until the fan base gets a little thicker skin, in my opinion, becomes a little bit more sophisticated, because there's not been any reason to be sophisticated for the last many, 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 many years. I'm not going to go to Tucson because, well, it's Tucson. I'm not going to support Tucson. Facts are, you don't want to go into a hostile environment. There's going to be fans that are going to go to Tucson. They're going to have stuff thrown at them, said at them, whatever. And that game is going to mean an awful lot next week. And based on what I saw Friday night sitting in here with the Arizona football game before family and friends, like, over in section 113, we want to welcome the family of left guard so-and-so. There was nobody there. The running back's uncle is behind the uprights. Nobody there. Okay? This should be a takeover if you're an ASU fan. If you're a U of A fan, look, it's pretty easy to be there when you jackstomp somebody. But I'd say this on both sides. Both sides have this habit of just disappearing. When things are bad, they disappear. I'm watching Indiana over the weekend, and I don't believe they're going to beat Ohio State, but I don't know. Those fans are really passionate and fired up, and they should be. That's not a football school by any stretch of the imagination. So they're right in the middle of it. I like seeing that. I think it's great on the college football front. So that's on the ASU game. The Cardinals, my Cardinals are just rolling, and they get a week to get healthy and cleaned up, and they meet a Seattle team. Yesterday, San Francisco's a mess, but San Francisco's just a game behind. If you look at the NFC West, everybody's just sitting there a game back, except my Cardinals. And so they go to Seattle, a place that's hard to win in, and they, in my opinion, are equal to where they are with the Seahawks, and then they go to Minnesota, another tough game. Then they have Seattle back here. Next 3 weeks are going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Jody and I are going to get into it here momentarily on that front. The Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, I don't know why people are just so outraged, like, oh, I felt like I was ripped off. Really? And if you're new to the fight game, because I've been around it and used to cover Mike Tyson fights, it was the biggest show on earth, bigger than anything back in the day. So when I saw 60 million households and they had problems buffering their stream and all that stuff, and that the undercard was actually better than the main fight, which looked more like a square dance from what I watched, that's boxing. You get what you pay for. Oh, it's rigged. Really? Shocking. Stunned. Wow. Breaking news. Gullible. There you go. All right. We got some other things I want to get to, but I don't want to get late here, so I'm just going to step aside. Jody Jackson and I, and then the great John Wilner. I'm Brad Susmat. And as always, on a weekly basis, Jody Jackson drops knowledge, Jody's gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate E.D. Marshall Jewelers. The Cardinals coming off their bye week. They play at Seattle. The Seahawks, a dramatic victory on Sunday. Geno Smith, a late touchdown. And they come in at 5. Everybody's 5-5 except the Cardinals. If I would have told you through 10 games, the Cardinals would be atop the NFC West. And all these other teams, all three of them, Jody, are 5-5. Would you have bought into that?
It is surprising, especially with the 49ers, Brad. I think that's the one team, you know, there's going to be a lot of panic in the Bay Area. There's already been a little bit even going into this game, but losing to the Seahawks, that is not something that they planned on, being 5-5 in the middle of the pack and the Cardinals being at the top. It has been a surprise. There were so many questions coming into the season, particularly on defense and really both sides of the ball. And then you add in special teams, they have all performed very well. I mean, yes, the odd thing is there's been a couple clunkers in there. You know, we saw the Green Bay game, Washington, all the other games. You know, they've either won or been very competitive, including, you know, we just saw the Bills, what they did to Kansas City, and they competed very well against the Buffalo Bills coming out of the gate. So it's exciting. This is a season right now that the Cardinals have within their grasp that I feel like playoffs are now not only a possibility, but almost an expectation with 7 games to go. And yet, it's going to be tough. It always is in this league. They have Seattle, Minnesota, Seattle, tough 3-game stretch. The Niners have the Lions still on the schedule. Mm. They have the Packers. They, you know, they have the Bills. They have a very tough road ahead. So this is an interesting time for the Arizona Cardinals, and coming out of the bye now, they've had that. This is a great opportunity for them because they're going to be more rested and they've had a chance to get ready for Seattle.
Okay, so this is a time of year where a team will come off a bye, and people in our business will do the here's 5 things that need to happen for them. And I'm not going to deal with the 5 things, but are there a couple things that you're looking at to say, okay, we've got to see this football team do this or that? I'll just throw one at you. They're sitting there at 6-4. They have to get to 9 wins. Somehow they've got to get to 9. Anything less than 9, and even 9 is kind of leaving the door ajar for somebody to get by them, especially with all these tiebreakers. That's just one of my things. I mean, it's easy to say Kyler Murray's got to play well. No kidding. But you know, there's some things or some players that you may be looking at saying, look, in these last 7 games, Brad, this position group has to play better or continue to emerge. And so I'll throw that up at you.
Well, I think that you're right. You're no question about 9 wins. They should be looking at, hopefully, you know, hopefully they can get to 10, because they do have a little bit easier of a schedule coming up. You have the, you know, during this last 7-game stretch, you have games against the Panthers and the Patriots, and then just teams that, you know, if the Cardinals play the way that they have, that they can beat. I think the thing that I'm still looking for is tracking in the passing game with the wide receivers. I love the run game, what it's doing. They just have to continue to do it. They have to continue with these multiple tight end sets to be able to run the ball and then work off of that. They've been able to work off of that with some creativity. And then Kyler not only play well, but use his legs. I mean, he's showing us now that he is able to deliver the ball from the pocket and make those good decisions and follow the script of these offensive plays, which has been challenging for him at times. I almost think his, you know, we all know his athleticism is it's hard to call it a detriment, but sometimes it stunted his growth in the way that a quarterback should play the position. And so if he continues to do that and surprise people, like we saw Geno Smith, it kind of looked like Kyler, right? When you see everybody dropping back in a key moment and then all of a sudden you've got a lane, and we know how much faster Kyler Murray is, you know, than everyone in the league, particularly, you know, and then even Geno Smith. So I think it's on defense. The pass rush, it's looked good against 2 offensively challenged teams, Bears and Jets. I think the addition of Baron Browning and hopefully Darius Robinson, if those guys can come in and add more to that pass rush, that is going to be what this team needs to sustain solid defense for the next 7 games.
Because they have Seattle 2 of the next 3 weeks. And so you just look at Seattle. Sunday I was watching the Seahawks, and Yeah, Geno Smith, seeing him do his thing and run around late, but DK Metcalf is still sitting over there as a threat, a big threat. Sometimes he's all over it. Sometimes it looks like he's just kind of not there. I don't know, but he's a problem. And so defensively, I would agree with you. It's on the defensive side of the football. If they just do their thing. And, you know, when you're talking about Kyler and the people around him, Marvin Harrison Jr. has stepped into his role a little bit more. He's grown into it. I think the last couple of weeks, I've been pleased. If he continues to do that trajectory, to me, there's no way that they are going to, and the defense does what you say, they can win shootouts, which was the expectation at the start of this season. It was all about the Cardinals are going to have to outscore everybody because the defense won't be able to stop anybody. Well, guess what? Defense is playing pretty well. You're right. The last couple of opponents, not good. But I think they've improved enough now that maybe it's not all shootouts. Maybe it's not going to be 35-30s.
Well, it's interesting because the Seattle offense, a lot of that game was a slog, you know, a lot of defense. Yep. And one of the things, the problem for the Seahawks, I think the area of most concern for them is their offensive line. And, you know, it didn't help. They had a center retire at age 27. And we saw a little bit of that show up today. But this win is going to give them a little bit of a boost because, you know, look, if you take the line away, if you can get some decent line play, I like Kenneth Walker is really good. He's a good running back. He's a punishing running back. And then the guy in the passing game that I like is Jackson Smith and Jigba. And I thought he was a weapon today against the 49ers. Metcalf is there. He's a problem, as you mentioned. And they have Lockett as well. So, you know, they have some weapons. This is going to be a challenge for the Cardinals. So you're right. The shootouts, though, hopefully the defense can hold it down. But this offense is growing in confidence. You don't necessarily want to feel like you have to score every possession,
right?
But that's where the ground game comes in. If you can possess the ball, play keep away, and the Cardinals have shown they're capable. We saw super plays today in the NFL, or superhero plays over the weekend. And Kyler Murray has that capability as well. So, you know, a lot of things that are happening are positive for them. And Marvin Harrison Jr. has improved greatly in this first 10 games. So where can he go from here in this final seven? That is the question too. How much more, you know, his ceiling over the next, you know, decade plus is, we're going to see, hopefully see that. And we don't know where it will end. It may end up in a Hall of Fame career. We don't know. But what can it be in this last seven in a year where the Cardinals need to grasp this opportunity to go to the playoffs in a year that no one really expected it?
Jody Jackson with us for a couple of minutes. Jody's Gems brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Jody has the bling. It looks great.
Great new earrings here, Brad.
Look at that. I am jealous about that. One other thing before we get you out here, and I'm just looking at the standings now over in the NFC, and just there's one team that to me feels like they're far and away much better than everybody, including the Cardinals, and that's Detroit. And then I see Philadelphia, their defense is getting better and better. I look at the rest of the NFC and I see a lot of parity. It's pretty clear Detroit's found their mark, but it's mid-November, not 1st of January. How do you see the NFC right now and where the Cardinals stack up?
Well, you're right. I mean, the Eagles have some momentum now as well after what we saw on Thursday Night Football last week. You know, I think it's coming together for them. And Saquon Barkley is truly a special player. We knew that. But now with the threat, with the other threats around him, I feel like with the Giants, they didn't have the most consistent quarterback play. They didn't always have the best line. I mean, the Eagles right now are putting it all together. So I do like the Eagles. The Lions, though, you're right. They have everything, and they have that physical style. They've made it a habit. And you know, Jared Goff, solid, the run game punishing. So I mean, there are some very good teams. I think I'm still looking to see what Minnesota is, and of course the Cardinals are going to see that right up close. And the NFC West, you know, we thought the Niners were going to be one of those elite teams, and they are really having some problems. Nick Bosa and his hip pointer injury that keeps popping up and cost, you know, maybe cost them the game, because when he left, Seattle had their way with the 49ers. I'm not sure what to think about the 49ers. But, yeah, if you're the Cardinals, you just keep plowing ahead, And we'll see where this all lands because there's a lot of flawed teams. And the AFC has been, you've looked at it and you've seen more complete teams. You've seen teams that really stand out above the rest. And the NFC's been a little more full of parity the last few years. And I think that's a benefit to the Cardinals, clearly.
I feel like, and I'll let you go off this. You have a quick thought. I feel like a couple of weeks ago, the Cardinals, and it was Adam Archuleta who was doing the broadcast. And Arch was asked, and I love Adam, and he's been here in the Valley a long time, about the Cardinals, and he just kept repeating, there's a lot of season left. There's a lot of season left. And that's code for prove it. And I think that's really where we are here. If it's 6-4 and you don't make the postseason at the turn, that's not going to go over well with fans. And I think the fan base, between what's going on with the Cardinals and Arizona State University, we actually have a football season in mid-November that people care about rather than talking about where the first round pick's going to be and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's been very refreshing to see what's happening with both of these football teams here in the Valley. And yeah, I mean, they do have to prove it. They do, and they know that. And I like the mentality, though, that Kyler has said, we're not satisfied. And I think there's just something different about him this year, whether it was the injury, just the maturation process, it's probably all of the above. Monty Osborne and Jonathan Gannon, going back to when they came here to Arizona, he was injured, yes, but they had conversations, and they were very impactful conversations, things that they envisioned for him and how they were going to help him, but that they needed his help as well. They needed him to do certain things to get where they want to go. And I think we've seen that. We've seen some really strong glimpses of that. And so it is absolutely a prove it time for them now. They're in good position, but they have won nothing. They literally have won nothing yet. And look, I mean, I hate to take it back to baseball, but the D-backs were standing there the final day and couldn't get it done. I mean, you would hate for the Cardinals to be in a position where they can get into the playoffs and need to, whether it's win that final game against the 49ers or, be up that day. That's what really bugged, a few years ago, when they had a chance, it's like finishing on that last day, finishing a game off. And so I think that, you don't want to look back and have regret. So all of these games matter. They all matter equally, and hopefully it doesn't come down to that. But just to see them in it is it's invigorated the fan base, that's for sure. And that is always good because we know how tough it is here in this market at times to drum that up with all that we have going on in our beautiful state of Arizona. But the passion from the football fans, Sun Devils and Cardinals, it's right now is the time to really embrace this because, as you know, Brad, you and I have been through some rough football seasons on all sides of it, and it is no fun. It is no one wants to talk about the draft in November.
No, we've been talking about draft in October and late September sometimes, like in all seriousness. And we don't like talking on the college end about how there's no players from the team that's for the draft. And now this year we have a team that's going to go deep into the postseason, perhaps, potentially. I was looking at some mock drafts, and the Cardinals aren't listed in the top 20 for once, which is great. Like Arizona State's going to have some players. So, yeah, I mean, Jody and I, we could be behind the scenes and say, man, this is no fun. And we've actually probably said that to one another at times. So we're living it up here a little bit, just like you
Yeah, might as
guys are.
well enjoy it. The
Right.
national people are calling. I want to get our take, right? Everybody wants to talk about ball here in Arizona all of a sudden.
Right. Jody Jackson, Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
And now, John Wilner, all things on the college football, basketball space. John knows all, tells all. You can find his content, of course, on Sports 360 and nationally syndicated as well. Next week, John and I are going to be sitting here talking about Indiana as the number one team in the nation. Who knew? If I would have said to you that sentence even a month ago, you'd be like, but there's no way if they beat Ohio State that they're not number one over Oregon a week from now, John. None.
Probably not, because the game would be is in Columbus. So, yeah, they may be. They'd be undefeated with a victory at Ohio State, and Oregon would be undefeated with a victory at home over Ohio State. So maybe the Hoosiers would have the edge there. The thing is, I didn't know where you were going when you started that sentence with a week from now, we're going to be talking about. I thought maybe you're going to be talking about ASU as a playoff contender,
or
Army as undefeated, having played Notre Dame. I mean, there's this season is so crazy. You could have gone in any number of directions. The bingo card situation is just out of control.
No, if I would have said to you a week from now, the Paul Bear Bryant Coaching Award is going to go to the guy at Indiana this year, maybe the guy at ASU, like, what?
What is right? Oh, yeah. I mean, the Big 12 is filled with contenders. I mean, I do think Kirk Cignetti at Indiana is the front runner. Even if they lose to Ohio State and they finish 11-1, what he's done with what's basically a Sun Belt roster transferred over into the Big Ten is remarkable. But Kalani Sitake at BYU, Kenny Dillingham at ASU, Deion Sanders at Colorado, all are top five, top eight for Coach of the Year nationally. And Deion gets all the pub, but you could argue he's done the third best coaching job in the Big 12. Certainly the second. I would put Dillingham ahead of Deion at this point if you're trying to basically rank the coaches on their performance.
Well, but if you look at the schedules, okay, winning at Kansas State pushes Kenny into a different level, because if you look at who they played this year, it hasn't been impressive. If we add up the numbers, John, it hasn't been a great win-loss, but they just have to play who's in front of them. On the other side of the street, last week you and I spoke about this, BYU is not good. So guess what? That wasn't a shock on Saturday night to Kansas. And I think looking at this Saturday, it would not be a shock to me if they get run off the field here. I would be surprised if ASU gets run off the field by BYU on Saturday. I would not be on the other way.
I'm with you. Given the trajectory of the two teams recently, BYU does seem to have hit, I don't know if it's a rut, I'm not sure they've regressed, but they aren't improving as much as ASU appears to be, for sure. They've had a lot of close games against some second-rate teams. I think ASU should be favored, but also, you know, BYU, they got a lot of experience. They got a lot of guys who are 24, 25 years old. They've shown they know how to win close games. I think it'll be last possession and a terrific atmosphere. You're right that ASU, for Dillingham, that was the best win of his tenure, I thought, given the opponent, the environment. No doubt about that. It's not their fault Mississippi State stinks. Wyoming stinks. Oklahoma State stinks. Utah, believe it or not, stinks. In this day and age with the 16, 18-team conferences, who you miss is as important as who you play.
Sure.
And it turned out that we thought ASU, Colorado were getting the tougher draws in the Big 12 schedule rotation, but they actually have kind of gotten a break. Neither of those teams, for instance, playing Iowa State. They're not playing each other. Colorado wasn't playing BYU. So they have benefited, taken advantage of what has been placed in front of them, to their credit.
John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, with us for a few minutes, as he does every Monday. So as we're sitting here, and if ASU just runs through the next two opponents, which is very feasible, plausible, then we're going to have the discussion about how many SEC teams should be in the college football playoff. Because the Big 12 is being disrespected top to bottom, and I actually get it. Because if I said, hey, Georgia's going to line up across from BYU in a playoff game, that's a 50-point blowout. I think if Georgia lined up across from Arizona State in a playoff game, it would not go the Sun Devils' way in any way, shape, or form. I've been wrong. I'll be happy to be wrong again. But, John, I think the Big 12 is being squeezed here. There's no way I see them getting two in.
I would agree, and I also don't think the ACC is going to get two in either. The most likely scenario is Notre Dame takes one of them.
Yep.
And then that leaves six. Three go to the SEC, three go to the Big Ten, leaving the ACC and Big 12 with only their conference champions in the tournament, the playoff field. You can see how it's shaping up based on the rankings. Where's the highest ranked team in the ACC and Big 12? BYU was six, but they've lost. So they're probably going to be in that 9-10 window, which means if they lose again, they're not going to get in as an at-large. You look at where Colorado State is, where Arizona State's going to be, Kansas State, Iowa State. They're too far down to get into the at-large field if they lose. And if they lose, that means they're not the conference champion. So I'm with you, but this is the world that the sport has created. It's
sure.
The world that the Big 12 had a big hand in creating, where there's this huge imbalance. everything tilts to the SEC and Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a good chance that more years than not, the Big 12 is only going to send its conference champ to the playoff. And same with the ACC.
Part of it, too, John, is they have media partners that are going to push the agenda. You know, there was a little note that I think for the audience, it's significant that it was announced this morning, or yesterday, actually, about TNT and the NBA going into business with ABC and ESPN. It impacts the Big 12 because some of those Big 12 games that were on ESPN Plus, which very few people see, are now going to be over on TNT, which is a positive.
Yep.
Yeah, there'll be every Star Wars movie imaginable before and after, or Raiders of the Lost Ark or any of that stuff as lead-ins, which is great. But this is the time of year where I believe that ESPN and Fox are sitting there every week in ABC as part of ESPN saying, we have the SEC and we have the Big Ten. And the rest of you are just kind of, eh.
There's certainly a deep connection between ESPN and the SEC, right?
Yep.
ESPN owns the SEC network. ABC and ESPN are broadcasting. They have an all-in agreement with the SEC. And then you bring in the playoff piece. ESPN broadcasts the playoff. So you got ESPN broadcasting the playoff. ESPN all in with the SEC. The SEC bringing huge ratings to the sport. And look, I mean, we're going to see tomorrow, Tuesday, right? The playoff rankings are going to be broadcast where? On ESPN, the same network that has this huge financial commitment to the SEC. You can't separate the whole thing. You have to kind of accept it. Fox is very influential and is the Big Ten's main network partner, but Fox doesn't have a piece of the playoff.
Right.
So I kind of feel like they're not quite as influential. And then you throw in the Feinbaum show and everything, all of the machinery that drives the SEC media, it's all connected to the CFP. So I guarantee you, if it's not on the playoff show tomorrow, it will certainly be on ESPN shows this week, and it'll be on game day on Saturday. Should the SEC get four at-large teams plus the conference champ to give them five, we are going to hear that because they got six teams right now with either one or two losses. So it's only a matter of hours before that hype machine starts churning. They should get four at large. They should get five at large. Why don't we just make it all seven at large teams from the SEC, right? That's where we're headed with this. And you have to just kind of accept it because that's the world that's been created.
Well, and I think, too, it's very fair to say if Alabama meets Boise or SMU in a playoff, it's a sword fight with a piece of spaghetti for those two schools against Alabama. So I get that. And that still is the other part of this, John. Is it Boise through and through now from your view?
Well, Army-Notre Dame is a huge game.
Perfect.
That is Saturday. Right. I want to say for your viewers, I believe that is a primetime East Coast game. It's at Yankee Stadium, neutral field. If Army beats Notre Dame, wins the AAC, and is sitting there 12-0 on Selection Sunday, right, because the Army-Navy game will be the next week.
Right.
They're going to make a decision on Army before the actual Army-Navy game is played. So then where's Army relative to Boise? If Army is undefeated and Boise is sitting there at 12-1, that'll be an interesting discussion if Army has beaten Notre Dame. The other piece to that is it possible both Army and Boise would get in?
No.
Well, let me pose this to you.
No.
Boise's sitting there. Hold on.
All right.
Boise's sitting there as Mountain West champ, 12-1. Only lost by 3 points at Oregon. Oregon is number one team.
Okay.
Hard to keep Boise out.
Right.
Army is sitting there, 12-0, just beat Notre Dame. So that means Notre Dame is out. So there's another at-large spot has opened up. Would the committee put Army in? I think it's going to be politically very, very difficult for the committee to say, unbeaten Army, you're out. I mean, Army is America's team. That is a major issue for optics for the committee. I don't know that it would happen, but I would love to see the committee squeezed like that where they might have be pressured to put Boise and Army in at the expense of a team from the SEC. I mean, that would be the kind of chaos everyone should root for.
Well, no, no. I'll go even a step further. You're leaving one thing out. Even if Notre Dame loses to Army, I'm still the conspiracy theorist where, oh, we have to have Notre Dame in because of the rating. It would make no sense. It would make zero sense. They'd lose to Army and they lose to Northern Illinois, and they're a playoff team, but it's Notre Dame, and it's a lot of cash. It's
more than
Army could bring in, John. You know
it
that.
It is. That's true. The real problem with that, though, is that Northern Illinois is terrible. So if Northern Illinois were like Boise, you know, the top team in the MAC, maybe I could buy it. But if they lose to Army and Northern Illinois, I can't see it. Not when they could just put an SEC team into their place. I mean, that Notre Dame spot, that could go to, you know, Alabama. We don't know how it's going to all play out, but it could go to Alabama or Georgia or Texas A&M.
Look, find the committee. I look at Alabama and say, what are you doing playing these who cares teams late in the season? It would be nice if somebody just took the SEC to task when they do have these games that are just romps trying to get the team healthy for when they have their rivalry games. Just make it hurt a little bit. Make it hurt. That's all.
They haven't punished the SEC for doing this for 10 years.
I'll do it now.
They're not going to start now. They're just not. The SEC can get away with it. I do think the SEC in the next few years is going to go to a 9-game conference schedule, which could eliminate this November cupcake. But the committee for 10 years of the 4-team playoff, it didn't hurt the SEC to have that game in November. So it's not going to start now.
Embarrassing, I tell you.
Yeah, it's not that they needed to tackle that issue long ago, and they haven't, and now there's nothing. It's an unstoppable force of cupcakes.
And I like cupcakes. Who do you have? Who do you have? Arizona State or BYU? Who takes it on Saturday, John?
I just like the way ASU is playing, much more than the way BYU is playing. Now, I haven't looked at the line, to be honest, so I can't really get into who I think. You know, my guess is ASU is probably favored by a couple points. But I just think ASU, you know, BYU is going to have trouble with Cam Scataboo. The issue for ASU will be giving Levitt time to throw, because BYU does have a very good front seven. They generate pressure. Their linebackers are very active. If Levitt's got time to throw, I think their ASU is going to be okay. On the other side of the ball, the big thing is going to be getting Jake Retzlaff out of his rhythm, because he's kind of a gunslinger, and he is prone to mistakes. So it's going to be one at the line of scrimmage. And I think ASU's got a really good chance, but BYU, again, they got a lot of 24 and 25 year old men on that line.
No, that's right. I will let you go off that. We could go much longer, but you're all fired up today. And I think less is more. John.
We're down. We are into the home stretch here, and the Big 12 is chaos. And I'm all here for it.
Yeah, we love it. All right, there's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.